Here we go. Welcome to Tuesday Stand Up. Today, we're so glad to have with us Michelle Christensen from Medline. This is the third in a three-part series on continence management. And today, the topic is empowering caregiver. So, Michelle, I will now turn it over to you.
Thank you, Jill. And thank you, everyone, for taking the time out of your busy schedules again today. Really appreciate it. Today, this call is going to focus on empowering and educating CNAs. I'm going to keep this call real simple. This is actually one of my favorite topics because it's so important. And then I guess we'll leave some time at the end for some Q&A. So residents in long-term care facilities manifest urinary incontinence at a rate disproportionately higher than elderly adults in the community or hospital setting, which is why our CNAs are spending the majority of their day managing incontinence. Time studies show that they are spending anywhere between 50 to 60% of their day managing incontinence. And those numbers include things like cleaning, linen changes, clothing changes, pericare, disposable incontinence management product changes, et cetera. Between the time that the CNAs spend and sex, continence management is one of your largest expenditures in your facility. So today's call, we're going to focus on a few questions that we should all be asking ourselves. Do our CNAs understand incontinence? Do they closely monitor incontinent residents for skin breakdown? Do they apply the appropriate product? And are the residents in the right size product? It's extremely important that your CNAs have all the education and tools they need to provide better care. Preparing your CNAs to acquire new skills or adopt new models to improve the quality of care is a major challenge. And the transfer of knowledge into practice is also a challenge. We know that the field of gerontology is not static, and continuing education programs should be the focus of integrating evidence-based practice models into improving quality of care. CNAs constitute the largest group of healthcare workers in nursing facilities and provide up to 90% of the direct care to residents, primarily responsible for the activities of daily living and personal care of residents, and have been described as the frontline managers of incontinence. So CNA activities are essential for successful incontinence management programs within your facilities. Previous research shows that the lack of CNA involvement in developing incontinence management programs is a barrier to a successful program. And your facilities have a varying level of academic knowledge about caring for residents with incontinence. Thus, improving staff knowledge related to incontinence and improving the attitude about managing it among staff rests with those who provide continuous education. CNAs have identified continuing education as a pivotal factor in job satisfaction and reduction in turnover. As we had mentioned in part one, CNA turnover is really high in our facilities. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, turnover for frontline caregivers can reach upwards of 75% the first calendar year. That's really high. And because it's so high, it's very hard for facilities to standardize education. So not only is that a challenge, but the turnover is really affecting our bottom line because it's costing us anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 to replace a CNA. So let's go back to the questions from the beginning. Do your CNAs understand incontinence? You know, research shows that CNAs believe incontinence is a normal part of aging and that once elders enter into a facility, you know, they should be in a brief, that they're not going to be able to be toileted, that it doesn't really matter, that they just need to be in a disposable product and they just need to be checked and changed. You know, upwards of 80% of CNAs truly believe that. And I believe that in all this research that I've done and, you know, all the folks that I've worked with, I find that there is not a lot of education on incontinence management in school, in programs and things like that. You know, CNAs are taught how to take blood pressure, and they're taught feeding and, you know, ambulating and how to prevent falls, but they really don't learn a whole lot about managing incontinence. So a lot of times when they come into your facilities, the first time they are changing a product or even using a product, it's their first time. And do they closely monitor incontinent residents for skin breakdown? A lot of CNAs do not utilize wetness indicators on products. Rather, they get into a routine for changing. Again, the check and change. And do they apply the appropriate product? CNAs believe that briefs are the best and or only product available. Most have never worked with any other products. I mean, there are some that have worked with pull-ups. A lot of times we have facilities where family members bring pull-ups in, but they believe that briefs are a lot easier to apply and that it's going to save them time. And are the residents in the right size product? I bet if you do some random checks in your facilities, you will find upwards of 70% of the residents are in the wrong size product. This is because CNAs truly believe that bigger products are better. They believe that bigger products are going to save them time, that they're going to work longer or stay drier longer, they're going to be easier to apply and remove from the resident. But bigger products are more expensive, and aside from that, they're also less dignified. Remember that disposable incontinence management products are really the resident's underwear, and when they don't fit appropriately, it's just not very dignified. And aside from that, we know that when a product doesn't fit appropriately, that CNA and that resident is going, they're going to experience a lot of issues. There's going to be a lot of issues with leakage, skin breakdown. A lot of times we find that products that are too big, when a CNA goes in to check and change, they'll find that the clothing or the bedding is wet, but the product is dry. That's a clear indication that the product is way too big. When you see side panels wrapped around the front of a resident, the product is too big, and it's time to reassess that resident for a smaller size. We know that even though CNAs think that the products, you know, being bigger is going to save them time, it really just is, you know, an opportunity to educate them on why bigger isn't better and why the appropriate products are so important for residents' dignity and quality of life. And I said I was going to keep this simple. So the first thing that I would recommend for educating your staff on incontinence management is reaching out to your vendors. Your vendors that, you know, you're getting your supplies from, they're really the experts in the products, and they have wonderful resources to work with you and your staff to get everyone on board. Sizing is probably the most important piece that you would want to kick off with. Quite often I hear, and I'm sure a lot of you are thinking right now, that you already do that, that you have vendors that come in every, you know, 60 or 90 days, and they come in and they resize, and everything's great. They do in-services for a few minutes, and, you know, but I bet if you look at a calendar and if you kind of map out how things are going, in-services are great, but I think the question would be, you know, how is that information that these caregivers are receiving, how is that being translated into practice? If you have vendors that are coming in every, you know, 60 or 90 days for sizing, that tells me a couple things. Either, you know, you have high turnover, or the CNAs are reverting back to old habits of putting bigger products on everyone, and that's pretty common. We see that, you know, when facilities have sizing done, everything is really good for a couple weeks, and then you go back into the storerooms and you see that all that's left on the shelf is small and medium, and all the extra large and bariatric products are gone off the shelves. So when I say, you know, if you walk around and do some spot checking, you'll find that the majority of residents are in the wrong size. And we know that they're struggling with, the CNAs are struggling anytime residents are in the wrong size, because it's really creating more work for them. You know, a lot of manufacturers, the core of their product, whether it be a pull-up or a brief or a liner, The core is really, you know, the same size in a lot of the products. The differentiating piece to the garment is either the side panel or the waist. But the core is essentially the same. So it's really important that the CNAs have a really good understanding of what a disposable and contact intimate product is and how it works. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced or seen doubling up of products. Again, that goes back to not really understanding how disposable incontinence management products work. So there's a lot of opportunity to educate frontline caregivers on, not doubling up products. And research that I've conducted, over 90% of CNAs believe that it's acceptable, that it's perfectly okay to double up on products. And we know that that's simply not the case. It's not dignified. It's very expensive. And it really just doesn't do any good for the resident because of the impervious back sheets on all of these products. Nothing can go through the first product. So they're creating a lot of work for themselves. And it's not because, you know, they have nothing better to do. It's because they really think that they're doing the right thing and they truly care about their residents and they think that they're doing right by them. And, that's a good opportunity to remind ourselves that these folks come in every day to do one of the toughest jobs in healthcare and spending the majority of their day managing one task, and that task is affecting your biggest spend. So, I would always recommend starting with the manufacturers to utilize all the tools and everything and, you know, all the resources that they have to come in and educate. It's great to follow up with the CNAs and ask them what their thoughts are. Ask them if they can, tell you what they've learned, you know, if they're translating it into practice. It's a good idea to keep an eye on the products that are being ordered and check for any patterns on certain units and see if, maybe you can narrow it down to a couple people that maybe just need a little bit more education. But as I mentioned in part two, you know, it's all about communication too. Staying in front of these frontline caregivers and making sure that they have all the tools that they need to get through their day, and that they have an understanding of how to use the products and how to choose products. Even if your facility only has one or two different types of products, that's fine, as long as they know how to use them and they feel comfortable. Because again, it's all about skin integrity and resident dignity and the quality of life that these folks have in our facilities. There's also a lot of online education that's available, too, that's really simple and easy to access for CNAs. I recommend looking into that if at all possible. But I think, going back to the manufacturers, a lot of those folks can help you, roll out programs and talk about ways to implement education. And then again, communication is key. Walk around and see how they're doing, talk about some of the issues they're facing, help them troubleshoot, and always, never point fingers or, it's not about blaming anyone. It's really about conducting that root cause analysis that we talked about before and figuring out what we can do together as a team to improve the quality of life and have better outcomes with our products. And with that, my 15 minutes are up, so I'm going to turn it back over to Jill.
Thanks, Michelle. Boy, you are really good at exactly 15 minutes. I'm going to unmute everybody's lines to see if, before we end, anybody has a question or a comment, something that you're doing that's working, or if you have a question for Michelle. I've unmuted folks' lines. Okay, very good. I know that you'll be having discussions in your own groups, and we will post this recording to the web. Thank you so much, Michelle. This has been a great series. And for those of you on the line, if there are topics that you would like more on or other kinds of things, let us know. We're updating the Tuesday stand-up schedule. We'll continue to have calls multiple times a month. So, again, Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your expertise, and thanks, everybody, for listening. See you later. Bye.